93.5, The Tap.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Matt Piper. Senate Majority Leader Charles Schumer says four Americans are confirmed dead in the surprise Hamas attack on Israel. In a statement, Schumer says the number of Americans killed is expected to rise. Another senator, Democrat Cory Booker of New Jersey, was in Israel when the assault started.
Hundreds of people have been killed. Thousands of people have been wounded in a level of attacks at a scale that is staggering and really has not been seen in this country for over 50 years.
He and his staff were able to get out today. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin orders U.S. warships to the region.
The aircraft carrier Ford and its escorts are on their way to the eastern Mediterranean as signals of American support for Israel in its war against Hamas. When they arrive, the U.S. will not only have dramatically increased its firepower in the region, but will also have a platform which could be used to evacuate American citizens or stage hostage rescue missions if it becomes necessary. At the same time, Air Force jets are being sent to bases in the Middle East as a warning to Iran, which backs Hamas, not to attempt to take advantage of the chaos in Israel. David Martin, CBS News, Washington.
Federally mandated early intervention programs in the U.S. to help babies and toddlers with disabilities are struggling. CBS's Wendy Gillette.
Low pay and inflation are affecting the ability of healthcare providers to participate. Staffing shortages are also an issue. The Associated Press reports some kids have to wait months, even years, for care.
Republicans in the House of Representatives could vote this week to elect a new speaker after ousting Kevin McCarthy last week. Correspondent Skylar Henry.
New CBS News polling shows the American public wants the new Republican speaker to prioritize federal spending cuts, but also work across the aisle with Democrats and stand up against the MAGA movement.
A runner from Kenya sets a new world record during the Chicago Marathon today. 23-year-old Kelvin Kiptum finished the race in 2 hours, 35 seconds. That's more than 30 seconds faster than the previous record holder. Kiptum reacted to the new record on 670 The Score in Chicago.
The finish line celebration was like, I was very happy. So I was so happy.
Another possible strike, this time at Walgreens. CNN is reporting that pharmacy employees at some of the chain stores, including pharmacists and technicians, plan to walk off the job between Monday and Wednesday. The report says the walkouts are in response to what pharmacy employees called burdensome prescription and vaccination expectations placed on pharmacists. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes! Melissa, that was like 12 years ago! What do you think the hang-up is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Well, he had a little chat with management yesterday, and I did suggest a daily limo and a fruit plate.
How did they take that?
That didn't seem to take that seriously for some reason.
I have full faith in you. You've been doing this for a long time. And you have Greg Bach.
I got a call from management this morning saying if I'd be interested in taking on new roles as a driver and buying fruit plates. That's a career opportunity.
Put that on your resume, baby.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Thank God it is Friday, Dominic. You know what I'm calling this one? You know what really cranks my gears? Edition of the Devil's Advocates. As is our Friday tradition, Dom, we air the grievances here in the audience. You could be a part. 844-967-2789. Airing of the grievances each and every Friday right here on the Devil's Advocates. I got a lot of problems with you people.
And now you're going to hear about it. Yeah, gritty. Good to see you, man. Happy Friday. Nate, working the board, our fair audience. Happy Friday to us all. It seems like it's been kind of a long week, man.
It does seem like something of a long week. I gotta tell you, you know what's made me all salty this week? The Brewers eliminated from the playoffs in 27 hours, dude. You know, they got a Tuesday game. You watch the Tuesday game, first pitch, 6:08. We kept talking about it. By Wednesday at like 9:30, season's over. 27 hours of playoffs and the season is freaking over, yeah. Dom. I gotta tell you, that made me a little salty.
What happens now, man? I know there's been some articles.
We're going to lose our manager to the Mets.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there are going to be some practical real-life repercussions from this quick departure.
I'm not sure if it would have mattered much, whether it was one round, two rounds, three rounds. My understanding, I'm not like
making the World Series, maybe you're a little less salty about the loss. You know what I mean? Oh, we lost in the seven of the World Series versus, we lost two back to back at home and a play in a wild card. What? That's a different kind of loss.
Dominic, I gotta tell you, I'm still a little bitter and salty about 1982. I don't know if losing it all in the World Series would have made it all the better for me.
Well, yeah, I know, Kurt. You're kind of a guy to hold on to a grudge.
Barely, though. It's only been since 82.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll get over it real soon.
Joaquin Andohar, I'm glad that tarp got you. Too soon? Too soon? Didn't a guy get rolled up in the tarp, one of their pitchers? I thought it was Joaquin Andohar.
I don't know. I vaguely
like in the middle of the World Series, you know, they had some inclement weather in St. Louis. They're rolling out the tarp. And like one of the guys got his leg rolled up in the giant tarp roller. Like it was a thing at the time. I think Raleigh Fingers was also up for that series. That made me bitter. Hall of Famer. And we didn't have him for the most important games of our year of our lifetimes, Tom, because we haven't made it back.
Who was the pitcher that was unavailable for Woodruff, right? For this series?
Woody, I mean, yeah. Wouldn't have mattered though. I mean, we didn't get to game three. It would have I got no qualms with Corbin Burnes and Peralta back to back. You know, had there been a game three, we'd have perhaps missed Woody, but you know, we didn't make it past the first 27 hours of baseball, Dom. So I'm a little bitter. A little
grievance for Curdy on that one.
You know what else is worse? Nearly worse. You know, a lot of baseball was played this year and now it's over. At least for me, I'm done watching baseball. If they're still playing, I'm oblivious to it. Once my team's out, I'm done watching baseball for the
year. So not necessarily a fan of the game then.
I mean,
or just so salty you can't stand watching anybody else other than your team. You can't feel happy for somebody else.
No happiness for others. That's always kind of been the Crudy way. Whatever my team's done, that season is done in my mind. I am done caring. In my heart, I should say. I'm done caring. You know, if the Packers get knocked out in the NFC Championship game, you're lucky if I'll watch the Super Bowl. Probably won't.
Oh, man. See, don't you have a love of the game? I mean, you know, give a little love towards those Detroit Lions playing so hard, been working so hard all these years. No, nothing. You got nothing, man.
I saw a girl wearing a Detroit Lions jersey in public. Yeah. It is the first time I've ever experienced that in my life. I saw that a couple days ago. And I'm thinking,
that Detroit game,
times are changing.
All the blue that was there. There was a sea of blue in Green Bay. Man.
I remember going to Ford Field in Detroit. And, you know, we were, you know what, talking the Detroit fans on the way in. There were so many Packer fans at that game. And they were like, oh, yeah, we had that one coming. Yeah, we've sucked for a long time. Yeah. I mean, they were a demoralized crowd.
We've learned, you know, as a Detroit fan to be cordial and humble. Polite.
I got to tell you, whoever these Milwaukee fans selling their gold tickets to the Detroit fans, that was an embarrassment. Do you know how many? It was thousands of Detroit fans, man. They didn't all pay broker prices. Some just bought them off some lazy Packer fan. Lots of lazy Packer fans. And those are the Milwaukee ones. You only get a couple games a year.
You get the Detroit fans, they're hyped up. Maybe they're making a few extra bucks. You know, you can always use some extra money for the Christmas time with the kids. You know, you can't fault someone for selling an asset.
Sure I can. If you don't want those season tickets, you give them up to somebody that wants them worse. There's a 20-year waiting list. If you can't attend, let someone else go. Don't sell them to Detroit fans. That is an embarrassment to your season tickets.
Well, you are pretty salty, man.
I am a little salty. You know what else? May I go on?
I mean, while we're going, man, please continue.
You know what else really cranks my gears?
What's that, man?
The Badger game will not be televised in any sort of conventional fashion this weekend.
Well, Badgers, good thing we're radio guys then.
Well, that is good because we've got your back on this one. We, being Civic Media, our Badger flagship, WRJN 1400 AM, but that ain't the only one. We've got WFHR in North Central Wisconsin. We've got WLAK over in the Minneapolis Outmarket, Amory, up in Lake Eyre country. And over in Southwestern Wisconsin, we've got WRCE. Today, it's Badgers from the center. And you can stream all of those fine Badger broadcasts you can take us with in your pocket. And I'm going to have to do just that, Dom. I have every intention of getting up and trying to scalp some tickets in the morning and go to that game because I'll be damned if I'll pay the $5.99 for the subscription, the Peacock. Come on, I'd rather pay the scalper's rates than pay the Peacock.
What's a beer? Do they sell beer at Camp Randall? No. You know, what's a soda cost at Camp Randall? You know what I mean? What's a hot dog at Camp Randall? Like $6? Five bucks? I mean, come on. And you're going to be mad about that? Listen, don't you remember the bad old days when you had to pay all that money for cable? They gave you a bunch of channels you didn't want. And I always thought to myself, damn, why could I just get them individually, one at a time? And then fast forward.
So it's your fault?
Technology. We have the ability to pick and choose. Hell, man. That's one of the reasons perhaps why we're in our political silos sometimes. But now you can just, if you want the Peacock, the NBC, you could go get it. You can go get that, man. You get your Paramount. You get your Disney. You get your Hulu. You get what, you know, your Netflix. You get all your, you can get all that streaming one at a time if you want. Or all of them. So, I mean, this is the new world, man. What are you so mad about? $6?
That's a lot of money some days. If I'm short $6. Dom, here are a few of what the texters have to say. Shades are drawn. Crudy planning to get naked, ? Yeah. Solo naked bike ride. No one wants to see that. Andrew. Also, Dana from La Crosse. Oh, come on. Come watch the Twinkies. They're fun to watch, and they're still playing. Oh, I know. Robert Pilot, our buddy from Native Roots Radio, he's a big Twinks fan. Don't forget, he plays out 10 o'clock at night. Don't forget our friend Robert Pilot. He's from Madison, but somehow he became a Twins fan. There's something a little wrong with that as well. I just point that out. Here's another
very
one.
Critical today, Crudy.
Salty, little salty. Jeff from Waukesha. Crudy, I'm pissed as hell about the prospect of having to pay $25 a month to buy the various streaming services to watch the Badger sports. I'm threatening to boycott. And then he goes on. Truth is, I'll probably cave and upgrade Peacock at 10:59 tomorrow morning. I refuse to do so, Jeff from Shorewood. 5 Badger men's basketball games. Also on the Peacock. And that's not $5.99 once. That's $5.99 a month. They got
but how many
five
of those
or
games
six times.
Within 1 month. Wait, are you saying each one of those games is in a separate month, or are there multiple games within a month? And number two, who made the deal, man? Isn't your beloved Badgers, aren't they the ones who
I believe
cut
that's
this
the
deal?
Big Ten Network. It's all about the money, baby.
Well, isn't it, though?
You know, last night I was looking at the away games. Next year, the Big Ten's going to include USC and UCLA, dude. What? The Badgers have a game in Southern California, I believe at the Rose Bowl at the Pasadena. That's where USC plays their games, isn't it?
Well, hopefully it's later in the season, man.
I could see it is. It's a November game. Yeah.
Again, about the money, you want to get a bunch of Badger fans out on the road? You know, do it in the late fall, early winter.
I would
Badgers.
Rather travel to Pasadena than pay $6 the Peacock to watch a game. Okay. You don't want me to talk trash. Who are the Peacock announcers?
I would never try to limit you, Michael.
Are these special Peacock announcers for the 11 o'clock Badger kickoff? And don't forget, again, Civic Media, we got your back. Free. Stream it for free. Get the Civic Media app. Again, WRJN, the flagship, but all around the state. Richland Center, Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Erin, Amory. We've got your free streaming, but it will not include a visual component. Because of Peacock.
Oh, come on, man. Amazon Prime yesterday. Kuchka's Bears finally pulling out for Dick Butkus. Passed away, 80 years old. The Bears get a victory yesterday. On Amazon, on the Prime. Did you watch that one?
I did not. I knew it was on the Prime. I refused to try and figure out my wife's Prime code. I can also be blocked from watching the TV just by a login code that I can't remember. It's all very complicated. I feel like a boomer.
ABC,
CBS, NBC, and maybe a little ESPN or ESPN2. I can deal with ESPN in the deuce. But, you know, when you've got to get multiple streaming services, you know, I got the Bally's, or not the Bally's, I got the FS1. The FS1 doesn't do me any good anymore. Now I need the Bally's. Uh-huh. And the
folks,
Peacock.
We are the Devil's Advocates. Come back with us. We're going to teach Crudy how to program the clock on the VCR. 844-967-2789. Flash in midnight.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, some frost, 35. For Monday, sunshine, a high near 51. Monday night, partly cloudy with a low near 37. For Tuesday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-50s. 37, the low Tuesday night. For Wednesday, mostly sunny and highs in the upper 50s. Currently, 46 degrees.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Mother. And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always be a part, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, only one regret that I have. Well, a couple. But only one I want to talk about today. Here's my regret. In our quest to provide ongoing great sports coverage right here on Civic Media, and can I point out, we've got your wild card Brewers playing on our flagship, WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM, starting tomorrow night, 6:08, first pitch. Also, Wednesday, 6:08, and if necessary, to eliminate the Arizona Diamondbacks, we will play a third game at 6:08 on Thursday, and we will play them out right here on the Civic Media Network on WISS, WRCE, that's Richland Center, and 98 The Q up in the Northwood. So if you're going up to the cabin, we've got your wild card games for you. But here's my regret, Dom, my one regret. In my eagerness to provide the greatest Brewers coverage in the Fox Valley, we have provided Brewers coverage to Congressman Glenn Grothman and his district, all the fine listeners there in the lower Fox Valley, Dom. But it kind of bothers me to know that when Glenn and I go to bed listening to the Brewers, we're listening to the very, very same broadcast.
That's not a thing that brings people together, man.
Okay, for now, we will allow it to be a good thing. Go all Brewers, right. Cheer for them. Yes. Unfortunately, Brandon Woodruff out for the series. Oof. That's troubling. That's one of our ace pitchers. It's a short series, man. You want your ace. You only get like two cracks at him, maybe three tops. But anyways, Dom, got a little piece here. Our buddy John Nichols over at the Cap Times. Grothman impeaches the House GOP. Oh, Glenn. I'm going to start this one, Dom. House U.S. Rep. Glenn Grothman is not a great orator, nor is he a masterful legislative strategist. Yeah. Oh, John, you could say that again. For the most part, the Republican representative from the town of Greenbush in Sheboygan County just shows up, votes the party line, and hopes he doesn't make another gaffe. That sounds like our Glenn. But every now and then, Grothman stumbles into the light and provides a moment of clarity regarding the workings of the dysfunctional Congress in which he serves, even if he does so unintentionally. Such was the case last week when the representative participated in the House Oversight Committee's first public hearing on the scheming by gang that couldn't shoot straight Republicans to impeach President Joe Biden. That's hard to say, John. Usually when an impeachment inquiry is launched, the House members who are pursuing it make reasonably precise accusations and provide at least some facts to back them up. Pardon me. Even if members of the Congress and the general public may disagree about the process, an effort is made to suggest that charges have been thought through with at least a measure of seriousness, Tom.
Curdy, but that didn't happen when the Oversight Committee convened on Thursday in a packed hearing room on Capitol Hill. The hearing was so disorganized and unfocused that even conservative commentators who despise Biden were ridiculing the Republicans for their lack of preparation. And legal analysts were merciless. Jeffrey Robin, the former chief counsel for the minority of the U.S. Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, said the inauspicious opening for the proceedings really does create the impression that this is throwing spaghetti against the wall, hoping some of it will stick. That's where Grossman came in. While some Republicans attempted to suggest that there was a point to their inquiry, Grossman, in his opening statement, simply admitted, quote, "We have all kinds of smoke, maybe no fire." Let me repeat that. We have all kinds of smoke, maybe no fire. Glenn Grossman.
You can cast aspersions, but you can't back them up.
The Wisconsin Republican wasn't trying to undermine the project, but his unwitting acknowledgement of reality showed up in news reports across the U.S. and around the world because it so succinctly summed up the failure of the Biden accusers to make a case for impeachment. Grossman's remarks were packaged in the news reports with those from two of the witnesses that Republicans called to frame the proceedings. The witnesses were supposed to inspire confidence in the impeachment process. Instead, forensics accountant Bruce Dubinsky, a GOP invitee, suggested there was insufficient evidence to determine whether the president did anything to meet the corruption standard that might reasonably be demanded to identify malfeasance. Quote, "I'm not here today to even suggest that there was corruption, fraud, or wrongdoing," he testified. "More information needs to be gathered before I can make such an assessment." Then, law professor Jonathan Turley, a frequent Republican witness of at past impeachment sessions, threw another bucket of water on the GOP effort to link Biden to the tawdry business dealings of his scandal-plagued son, Hunter. Quote, "I do not believe that the current evidence would support articles of impeachment," said Turley. Turley, Dubinsky, and Grossman all tried to suggest that Republicans might eventually come up for a rationale for their inquiry, but their inability to do so on Thursday led Maryland Rep. Jamie Raskin, former constitutional law professor, who now serves as the Oversight Committee's ranking member, to observe, quote, "We have the sound? Let's hear what Raskin had to say about the smoking gun, Nate, if you would, please."
Just 1 second.
I think
if the Republicans had a smoking gun or even a dripping water pistol, they would be presenting it today, but they've got nothing on Joe Biden.
Got nothing. You got nothing. John Nichols over at the Cap Times, of course, at the Nation magazine. And that's Grossman, you know, accidentally saying the whole thing. "Oh, we got lots of smoke, but there's no fire." All the what? What an embarrassment.
You got to infer the evidence, Tom.
Is that how it goes?
If you just look, you know, somewhere, squint a little, infer a little, looking for clear, obvious stuff, you're not going to find it here, Dom. Wes from Middleton, texting, "Thank God for the FM translator. AM signal has a hard time getting down into Glenn's mom's basement." Hope you're listening, Congressman. I hope you all are. Tell your friends, Devil's Advocates, come on. And don't forget, Ma, the meatloaf. Come back. You can join us on the phones. 844-967-2789. Sort of a chill Monday.
You got nothing.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief, Israel has declared war against Hamas after an assault on Israeli territory. Hundreds on both sides have died, including four Americans. This woman says she believes her daughter is one of dozens taken back to the Gaza Strip as a hostage.
She was talking to me and said, "Mommy, help us. We don't know what to do." And I'm on the phone with her and I'm saying, "Mommy, we love you."
CBS News asked Americans what they want to see in a new House speaker. CBS's Jennifer DePinto on the new poll.
Most of the nation's Republicans do seek bipartisanship, but more, almost three quarters, want a speaker who will try to impeach Biden, and a majority also want someone who'll be loyal to Donald Trump.
Kenyan runner Kelvin Kiptum sets a new world record during the Chicago Marathon. He spoke to 670 The Score after his victory.
I can't believe it. Maybe I was thinking to run maybe 2:01, 2:05, but 2:00.
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
When they go low, we get high. Mama, the Devil's Advocates.
Just killed a man. Put a gun again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. The Friday airing of the grievances has commenced. You want to know what really cranks my gears?
What's that?
You brought to my attention the ethical violations of multiple congresspeople. And this column includes a picture of Wisconsin's own Glenn Grothman. But the problem is, I find myself in some twisted way defending the most boring investment vehicle of all time, the U.S. savings bonds that Glenn Grothman bought with Mom's birthday money through the years. And his failure to disclose that purchase in a timely fashion, I don't think it's any big deal, but you were just hammering me before we went on the air, Tom. So tell the people, why is it a problem?
The Raw story, Alexandria Jacobson reporting. Since January 1, 26 members of Congress have violated a federal insider trading and conflicts of interest law. A Raw story analysis of congressional financial disclosures reveals most of the violations involve failures to properly disclose stock trades as required by the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Stock Act of 2012. You know, federal law, Crudy. I don't write the laws. I mean, literally, Grothman writes the laws, right?
He just doesn't follow the letter of the law. Just a minor oversight.
You know, what are you going to do? The most significant violator clocked in as much as 6.5 years late when reporting up to $8.5 million in stock transactions. Georgia Republican Representative Rick Allen, another lawmaker, was just a couple days late, but still logged up to 165,000 late stock disclosures. That's John Curtis, a Republican from Utah. Between them are numerous other Republicans and Democrats alike who have consistently failed to abide by the Stock Act. The Obama-era law intends to stop insider trading, curb conflicts of interest, and enhance transparency by requiring key government officials, including members of Congress, to publicly report within 45 days most purchases, sales, and exchanges of stocks, bonds, commodities, futures, securities, and cryptocurrencies. The excuses for this year's violators are numerous. There's a couple here, Crudy. I mistakenly left it in draft. It's in draft. I didn't click the send button, Crudy. Here, Tom Carpenter, he's a Democrat. He said, oh, it's a clerical error.
Aren't they always?
Another Democrat. An administrative error. Kathy Manning from North Carolina. Senator Tom Tillis, also from North Carolina. It's a website processing issue. The dog ate my homework. My computer froze up. The internet was choppy that day. I mean, it's literally the website processing issues.
I'm sorry, I don't have the Amazon login codes. My wife has those.
Advisors are to blame. Zoe Lofgren, a Democrat, Rep. Tom Keene, a Republican, blame the financial advisors. In a recent interview with Raw Story, one of the Stock Act's original authors, former Rep. Brian Baird, a Democrat from Washington State, blasted Congress for its continued excuses for failing to abide by the law. I mean, come on, the dog ate my homework. Hey, I said that. Aren't we a little more grown up than that? Baird said. If we're capable of voting on whether or not to raise or lower taxes or send people to war, I think we can report when we make an investment. The standard fine for violating the Stock Act is $200, but frequently...
Isn't that about the same that they charge you for an administrative code violation at the Capitol? Although I think they throw another 50 cents on at the Capitol.
Yeah, $200.50.
Correct.
Well, that was a while ago, Curtis. You know, it's probably higher now.
Last time we were cited, also $200.50.
House, was it? I don't recall. Okay.
Both
House
times.
Committee on Ethics and the State Senate Select Committee on Ethics, they waived the fee. Craig Holman, a Capitol Hill lobbyist on ethics and campaign finance rules for nonprofit public citizens, said the fee is one of the two reasons why the Stock Act is frequently violated. The penalty is so minimal that these millionaire members of Congress really don't care about it. The second provision is ethics committees are not really enforcing it or taking it seriously.
But let's talk about the violations of Congressman Glenn Grothman of the great state of Wisconsin. I don't see it as big a deal as perhaps some of these other violators, Tom. Did he follow the letter of the law? No. I won't say that he did.
Did he follow the spirit of the law? Did he follow the intent of the law? Any of those things?
If this is an insider trader thing, consider what it is that Glenn has been purchasing with his money. Let me read. Rep. Glenn Grothman, Republican from Wisconsin. Grothman was more than a year late in reporting two purchases of U.S. Treasury Series 1 savings bonds, totaling up to $30,000. Now, you know he didn't buy them for his kids, in that Glenn's a confirmed bachelor, living in mom's basement, my understanding. His office did not respond to multiple requests for comments, but I got to tell you, Dom,
yeah.
Isn't it so Glenn Grothman to buy savings bonds? I mean, this is not an... You cannot time the market on savings bonds, can you, Dom?
Very secure investment.
It's a pretty vanilla thing. And while I think that, you know, Glenn should probably follow the letter of the law if he wants to serve as a lawmaker, let's say, I don't see the problem that you see, at least not all the outrage you leveled at me. And I can't believe that I'm going to defend Glenn Grothman about anything.
Man, listen, it's very simple. Lawmakers, Republicans and Democrats. You just got to follow the law, man.
Yeah, but some of these were like $5-6 million insider trades.
Come on, man. Sales and exchange of bonds, stocks, commodities, futures, securities, cryptocurrencies. That's a bond. He bought a bond. It falls within the category. Report it, man. I mean, what's the problem? I mean, even if you totally agree that there's zero to zilch chance of some sort of corruption or insider trading going on, time in the market or whatever you might have heard inside, maybe you got, you know, wind that the Feds are going to do something about, what, the interest rates? I mean, there's very little opportunity for corruption in that regard.
Very minuscule opportunity for corruption. I'll agree with you in that assessment.
All right. Still a law. Still a law that Republicans and Democrats passed and signed. Still laws that you don't
Glenn need. Wasn't up there then.
Well, he's there now. So either what he thinks is not a big deal to follow the law, or he's just so incompetent that he doesn't know how to read and follow the law.
Hey, I mean, you back off.
What is the motivation for guys like Glenn Grothman? If you're not involved in any sort of conspiracy, these other guys, what, $6.5 million? I'm sorry, it was 6.5 years late, $8.5 million. That's a Republican from Georgia, Congressman Rick Allen.
Damn. Well, that might be an effort to, you know, hide a insider stock sweetheart deal from your voting constituency, Dom. Hell, he's gone through 3 elective campaigns since he failed to, what, disclose the transaction. But Glenn's buying treasury bonds. He could have bought those at the post office. Reason,
if there's nothing to hide, and there presumably isn't, because they're savings bonds, right? If there's nothing to hide, click the button, man. Report it. I mean, now, if Rick Allen, the congressman, was up to some shenanigans, I don't know, but 6.5 years and $8.5 million, you know, I mean, maybe he deserves a couple $200 fines. But if that's the case, Glenn, it's an easy choice. Just do it, man.
Let me ask you, Dom, because I'm going to answer this question with a question.
Yeah.
Have you filed your taxes for 2022 yet?
Oh, yeah, man.
Well, that makes one of us.
Fine, but, you know, you have the opportunity to, you know, not file the taxes, file extensions, and you can, you know, have to pay the interest, and perhaps you don't get your ducks in a row, a penalty, right? But, you know, okay, but you're not in Congress, man. I mean, these things are passed specifically to address, you know, insider trading and corruption, right? I mean, that's the intent. And maybe if you want to say, hey, savings bonds really doesn't vote, you know, okay, but that's how it is. That's where it's at. That's it. This is a bipartisan issue. These people are not following the letter of the law. And how am I supposed to respect the law when you people don't respect the law?
How am
I the one making the law?
How am I supposed to respect the rant if we're talking about a dude buying 30 grand in savings bonds, which he probably did with his mom's money and brought him back to Ma? The meatloaf, Mom. We're hungry.
Wait, is Mom giving him money now? I mean, is he reporting that as what? As a contribution to the campaign? I mean, I want to be clear here. Is this a gift?
Well, one must presume it's personal dollars. And Dom, I don't know if you're aware, but you can actually gift within the family or really to a stranger if you want to, up to $16,000 per year. And in fact, a married couple could gift $32,000 per year tax-free to both the giver and the receiver, Dom. Don't tell me I don't know my tax codes.
Yeah, okay, so maybe you should file them then. But, I mean, come
well,
on.
Well, eventually.
Listen, you know, here's the deal.
When
you know,
the letter of the law says
you
I must.
The extension, when you, yeah, exactly. When the letter of the law, you do it, right?
Probably.
Because why? Because you're going to get penalties and interest, and it's never going to leave you.
Otherwise, so
the
it's the accountant's
laws, fault. People making the laws to try to, what, limit the opportunity for corruption and grift and whatever, don't follow those laws themselves? And then if we have no fines and no one who don't do it, well, why even have the law then? You know what I mean? Come on. This is the whole point. Are we a nation of laws, or are we just going to let Glenn slide by because it's 30 grand in savings bond? And then why are we letting Rick Allen slide by for 6.5 years and $8.5 million?
We are a nation a bookkeepers and accountants, and I am dependent upon them because, you know, I'm not good with the technology. I already pointed out I'd never be able to master QuickBooks. You know, I've tried. That's never going to work. So, you know, if I don't file in a proper fashion, I blame the accountant. Accountant screwed me.
That's exactly some of the excuses that these congressional
are they excuses? Senators- they feel more valid all the time as we approach October 15th.
844-967-2789. Cindy from Appleton. Welcome. Happy Friday, Cindy. What do you got for us today?
Hey, Cindy.
Happy Friday. Well, you know, they have laws so that they can apply to the poor people.
That's right.
To the poor people. You know, so we end up in prison for little piddly little things we do, but people that are rich can do whatever they want, like murder somebody on Wall Street and get away with it. So, you know, it's just a way to keep the poor under the thumb.
Well, I don't know if you'd get away with it on Wall Street, but Trump claims he would on Fifth Avenue.
Well, whatever, wherever it was, he said that. Anyway.
Cindy, I've got some news that's going to cheer your It's going to turn your frown upside down. You know who just got jammed up by the IRS? Occasionally
besides
drunken.
Me?
Who's that?
But besides me.
You and I both, sisters. They always expect their payments before I filed my taxes for some reason. But Cindy, the former attorney to Donald Trump, America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, got slapped with a $600,000 tax lien by the IRS today on his condo.
Wow.
Not only is he stiffing his lawyers, he's stiffing the IRS, Cindy. But it gets a little painful when they start leaning you. Not that I'd know.
Trump going to bail him out, though?
What's that?
Where's his buddy Trump to bail him out? I said, where's his buddy Trump to bail him out? I thought, you know, Trump was going to help him out when he got into trouble.
I think. He's been begging Trump for legal fees for a couple of years now. And my understanding is Trump did like $100,000 a plate fundraiser for Rudy at Mar-a-Lago or something. But I'm pretty much thinking that's where Trump cuts him loose. He's not going to get him out from under his lien on the condo. I mean, pretty much Rudy is going to live in a halfway house the rest of his life. That's my prediction, Cindy.
Why not a full way house? Why a halfway house?
Because he can't afford the other half. Cindy, appreciate your call. 844-967-2789. Do you see that breaking? Rudy got leaned.
Well,
and I don't wish the IRS on anyone, but, you know, you think he'd know better.
Well, and I'm sorry, that was Mike Lindell who lost his attorneys, walked away from
I'm losing
his,
everything. Yes.
Yeah, but that's what happens. These folks, they jump on the Trump train, and ultimately it leads to financial, personal, professional, political disaster for everybody else. The guy leaves a wake of chaos behind him. But at some point you think you got to be a little bit careful. If you're a guy like Trump and you think you're a little bit exposed, perhaps guys like Rudy, and if he, you know, maybe he wasn't sober enough to remember anything. But, you know, certainly if guys like Rudy and Mike Lindell were in the
room. Just tell me you won.
And the pressure and the heat is turning up and they don't have any money. You know, those are the guys that are going to be flipping at the last minute. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Call us with your grievances. Happy Friday to us all. 844-967-2789. Stick around. We will be right back.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. events. The pins still set by people, swear, and you're tossed out. The ants are coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people, no machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, some frost, 35. For Monday, sunshine, a high near 51. Monday night, partly cloudy with a low near 37. For Tuesday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-50s. 37 the low Tuesday night. For Wednesday, mostly sunny and highs in the upper 50s. Currently, 46 degrees.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. The big and tall of political talk, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all, airing of the grievances, trying to talk anything not politics. You can join us at 844-967-2789.
Dom, you like the Monty Pythons, right?
Every scorpion's sacred, pretty.
Have you ever seen the dead parrot routine? Guy goes into the pet shop, buys a parrot. Very expensive parrot. Very dead parrot. My son actually did that for like middle school forensics. He was so cute. I thought it was so cool. It was funny. You know, very funny. Monty Python's funny stuff. Well, less funny for Wisconsin's own Kenneth Cheesebro. His motion to dismiss likened to Monty Python's dead parrot in judicial smackdown. That's what the judge is saying to him, Dom. Let me see if I can get this properly. Deserve some reverence, Dom. You know, whenever you're referencing Monty Python's dead parrot in your judicial outcomes, a judge on Friday made quick work of former Trump lawyer Ken Cheesebro's motion to dismiss his case based on a clerical error. In the original motion, Cheesebro argued that his case should be dismissed on the grounds that the Fulton County Special Prosecutor, Nathan Wade, did not properly file his oath of office for the case in a timely fashion, kind of like Glenn Grothman, which makes all the work that Wade has done on his case to that point void as a matter of law.
Reaching.
But in a ruling flagged on Twitter by Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporter Tamar Hollerman, Fulton County Judge Scott McAfee put an official end to Cheesebro's long-shot bid to have all the charges against him dismissed. At the end of the ruling, McAfee made reference to the famous Monty Python sketch in which a pet store owner tries to convince a customer that the dead parrot he sold him is actually alive. If this parrot of emotion is somehow not yet dead, the defendant has failed to establish how the special ADA Wade's actions resulted in prejudice, i.e. how his assignment single-handedly changed any specific actions taken during the investigation or resulted in a true bill of indictment. The judge argued, nor has the defendant established a constitutional violation or structural defect in the grand jury process sufficient to justify outright dismissal. The motion is denied. That is a dead parrot, Dom.
Well, that's what I call a dead parrot.
Now, Cheesebro was indicted earlier this year by Fulton County District Attorney Bonnie Willis for his efforts to keep the former president Donald Trump unlawfully in power after he lost the 2020 presidential. And his motion, Dom, absolutely a dead parrot.
dead on arrival. I mean, you can't really blame the guy for trying to do anything he can to get out of this thing.
The guy didn't file his clerk's license on the proper day. Therefore, all charges against me must be invalidated.
All good. Wow. Desperation, I think. A little bit of desperation.
844-967-2789. You don't have to be desperate. Just call the Devil's Advocates. Dom will explain your tech to you, and I'll stand with you in grumpiness, airing of the grievances. You know, we'll be solidarity and being cranky today.
Crusty old men together.
Grumpy old men. Feeling older all the time. You know, the other night, my wife had some minor ailment. We were comparing like minor ailments, and she's like, is this what it's like getting old?
Yeah.
And apparently it is, Dom.
It's always better than the alternative, Michael.
That is true. So far.
As far as we know.
Dynamo Dave from Duluth. Welcome back, Dave. Happy Friday. What do you got for us?
Hey, David.
Hey, Governor Dom and Charismatic Crudy, thank you for taking my call. We seem to have dodged a bullet last weekend with the government shutdown business. But I was wondering, did you guys know that, first of all, that those congressional leaders still get paid whether there's a government shutdown or not?
I heard that. That's troubling to me.
Yeah.
Seems like less incentive to keep the payroll going when you get paid whether or not the employees do or not.
Exactly. It's like, wait a minute. What's going on? I thought it was we the people, not those guys.
Oh, Dave, what a quaint thought.
Hey, but I don't know. Did you guys catch the news? 2 weeks ago, Representative Angie Craig of Minnesota here, she introduced a bill. I got to pull over and read it to you. It's called, quote, "My Constituents Cannot Afford Rebellious Tantrums. Handle Your Shutdown Act to Halt Congressional Pay During a Government Shutdown." And what I want to know, and of course it didn't pass, but what I want to know is, like, when the Democrats have Congress, why don't they pass that bill themselves? You know what I mean? They've had it, you know, at the very early part of Biden's presidency. Wasn't that the case or something? Or I can't remember when the last time they had it. But why don't they pass that bill or a bill similar to that when they're in power?
Excellent question, Dave. They didn't get much done. They kept promising stuff's going to happen. Couple weeks. Just give them a couple weeks. Didn't come to fruition so much, did it, Dave? I'll take that as a no.
That's a no. Thanks for the call, Dave. It's a good question, and they absolutely should. I mean, and, you know, obviously the thing about this, Democrats are not generally the ones that want to shut down the government. You know, that's kind of a Republican thing. So they should absolutely do that. I mean, why not? If you're going to not pay all the federal workers, then you should also, as a federal worker, not get paid. It seems, I don't know, equitable and just to me. And maybe it'll put a little pressure on some of those folks to get things done. I mean, if you're not going to work, you shouldn't get paid. You know what I mean?
I've been saying that to you for years. Yeah. Dom, we've got some...
The brand is almost priceless.
Dom, we being the Civic Media Network and specifically the Madison station, WMDX, got a little fan mail here from apparently a fan of conservative righty whitey talk radio. Her name's Linda. Sent a little email. This is all BS, although she spelled it out for us. Children should not have sex changes. The Civic Media station is built on all left-wing nonsense. No wonder America's effed up. She spells it out. Bring back the Republicans and President Trump! ! Yes, President Trump, and get the old man Biden out. That's what she said. And then she says, yes, I want to join the movement and receive emails and updates.
All right.
So I suspect Linda struggles with the tech, like yours truly struggles with the tech. So Linda, although politically, ideologically, we're complete opposites, I would say you and I, we have that in common. That's one thing we've got. come back with us. More Devil's Advocates, finding common ground, making the very cogent arguments of a Monty Python sketch and legal pleadings. You know, that, my friends, is a dead parrot. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. Got another hour. We're not done yet.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Howler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.